Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
So before I go into my sermon, I have a HR announcement to make. As many of you have already known, Reverend Dickey is retiring after 7 faithful years here as our pastor in charge of the Seniors and Care Ministry. Through his compassion, dedication, and shepherd's heart, he has walked alongside many, caring for and encouraging our community in meaningful ways. As today is his final Sunday, serving as part of the PJEFC pastoral staff, and with his last official day on the 31st of December, we really make our pastor work to the last day. Yeah? We would like to take this moment to express our deep gratitude. And the Word of God reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 to 13. Acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. In that spirit, we would like to present Reverend Dickey with a small token of appreciation and spend some time praying for him as he steps into the next season that God has prepared. Let us warmly welcome Reverend Dickey on stage. Can I invite the elders who are present here today to come up together and Reverend Alexa, yeah. You pass the word.
Thank you.
Shall we just at least stretch our hands and pray for Reverend Dickey? Gracious and everlasting God, with hearts full of gratitude, we come before you to give thanks for your faithful servant, whom you have called, sustained, and used across many decades of ministry. Thank you for the gift of his life, his calling, and his obedience to you. We praise you, O Lord, for his willingness to come out of retirement when the church was in need, to once again carry the shepherd's staff, not out of obligation, but out of love for you and for your people. Lord, we thank you for the countless seeds he has sown through preaching your word, acts of love and compassion, through prayer offered quietly and faithfully, through counsel given with wisdom, patience, and grace. Truly, he has run his race with faithfulness, perseverance, and humility, seeking not his own glory, but yours alone. As he now steps into this season of retirement, we ask that you, O Lord, surround him with your peace that surpasses all understanding. Grant him physical strength, emotional renewal, and spiritual refreshment. May this next chapter be one marked not with withdrawal, but by deeper intimacy with you, unhurried moments in your presence, joy in your word, and rest in the assurance that the task you entrusted to him has been faithfully completed in your strength. We also want to lift up his family, especially Carol, his beloved wife, before you, O Lord. Thank you for her sacrifices, their children's sacrifices as well, their steadfast support, and their shared journey in ministry. Bless them with unity, health, and joy. May they now enjoy the gift of time together, and may their home continue to be a place of love, hospitality, and quiet testimony of your grace. Lord, we commit him into your loving hands for the days ahead. Continue to guide his steps. Use his wisdom to encourage and mentor younger leaders. And let his life remain a blessing to the church and the wider community. Above all, may he know deep within his heart that he has finished his race well. And may he hear the gentle affirmation of your spirit. Well done, good and faithful servant. We give you all the glory and honor, for you are the one who calls, equips, sustains and brings every good work to completion. In the precious and holy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you very much. Good morning, church. Today is the last day or last Sunday of the year 2025. And I was reflecting about the message for this morning, and I think what is important is for us all to reflect back and also to see what God has been doing to us. And therefore, can I have a first slide? The title that I wanted to share this morning is Entrusted Together. And the verse is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. You know, the church that Jesus started, as recorded in the book of Acts, is now about 2,000 years old. Throughout this time, countless people has been part of this wonderful movement. And as I look back in this 2025, I see a season of change. We just witnessed just now Reverend Dickey retiring and taking over his portfolio is Pastor Joan. And earlier this year, we have Elder Chien stepping down as chairman, and I have to take over that role. Then we have Chiu Wai coming on board as a new elder, you know, so that the oversight remains a healthy combination of different people of different ages. We have also many new ministry workers joining us this year. From Rachel for Chinese Church early this year, Ribina for BM Church, Jem, who came on to lead Essen, Adana, who just joined us, was it last month, 2 months ago, to support children and youth. And next month, we will have two more ministry workers joining the team. Now, seasons change, but God's mission remains. Transitions are part of God's design. Leadership changes, you know. Seasons of a church, of an organization changes. Different generations, they come and go. But God used all of us, everyone, to fulfill His mission. And I suppose in Ecclesiastes 3:1, it does say that to everything there is a season, right? Now, while God's mission to redeem the earth has not changed, but there has been a subtle change in the format of leadership if we started to look from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And this morning, I want to look at three examples from the Bible. And the first one is, when there was a change, when the Israelites moved from Egypt into the Promised Land, there was a change in leadership as well, as Moses transitioned his leadership to Joshua. And that was taken from Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 to 8. Now, I've highlighted the part that I thought is interesting. Let me read it up to them. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall go with these people into the land that the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall put them in possession of it. It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." It's interesting because it talks about be strong and courageous. The Lord goes before you. Obviously, transitions like this can be challenging, can be worrisome as well. So it's no wonder that when Moses told Joshua this, he encouraged him and said, "Be bold and courageous. The Lord goes before you." And we see the same pattern when David transitioned to Solomon, as recorded in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20. Then David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous and do it. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you." Even my God. Because David is known as the man after God's heart. Everybody knows that God walks closely with David. Is with David, right? Even my God is with you. He will not leave you or forsake you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished. This was, of course, when David was passing the baton to Solomon and asking him to build the temple. So it's a big project, right? And finally, the third example is this. When Jesus passed the baton to the apostles and to the church, and this was written in John 14, this is the ultimate transition where Jesus entrusts the mission to all his people. And especially this, in John 14, it says this, you will do even greater works than all those before. So let me just read out excerpts of John chapter 14. I just want to highlight verse 1, 12, and 15. Verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Sounds familiar, right? As the other two transitions that has happened, be bold and courageous. Here Jesus told his disciples, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Verse 12, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than this will he do, because I'm going to the Father. Verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. So, the key point is this. When there's a transition, we are reminded that God's work is bigger than any one generation. And therefore, a transition is natural. Leadership changed, but the calling of the people remained the same. And God is always present because these are his plans. Transition is always God's prerogative. And in the final iteration here, when Jesus sent his disciples out, the transition moves from a single person leading to God himself leading, the collective participation of the people. So in the past, in the Old Testament, you see that God spoke to one particular person. There is one leader that everybody looks to. Now, God says that I will lead every single one of my people. It's a subtle change, but it's a very, very powerful change. And this change is what I believe Jesus said. You will do greater things. Because in the past, when you have 1,000 people, or maybe looking to one person. So what you could do and how fast you could move is limited. The leader is your rate limiting step, right? If that person is slow, the leader is slow, everything goes slow, right? But in this time, when Jesus came, he said, I will send you my helper. He's unleashed a very powerful force, something that was not conceived before, was never spoken before, right? That God will lead everyone personally. And that is through the Holy Spirit. And that's where we come to the New Testament. And this is what we talk about, being entrusted together. God is entrusting his mission to each and every one of us individually. This is the priesthood of all believers, as written by in 1 Peter verse 2 and 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Notice this, your chosen race. Of course, from the Israelites' perspective, they know they are chosen race. But not all of them are priests. But in this case, we are also the royal priesthood and a holy nation, a people for his own possession, right? And the mission for us is this, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. This is a completely game changer in the way how God works in this era, in this time of the church. So what does it mean? practically speaking, okay, so we know that God is leading each of us individually. Now, every believer is called, is gifted, is responsible. But on the other hand, on the flip side, one would say that, wouldn't this be messy? Wouldn't this be difficult to control? Wouldn't it be slow? Now, this is exactly what the new church in the Old Testament faced. And that's where we see that Paul, in a few of his letters, actually spoke about and give a little bit more color to what it means when we are all individually called by God. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 12. And he gave the apostles... And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. You see, the leaders, right? The pastors, the elders, they exist not to do ministry, but to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Ministry work is done by all. And in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 27, I'll just read excerpt of it. Verse 12. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, right? And Paul went to explain that one body, many parts, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, all were given the one spirit to drink. Everybody is one, regardless of your heritage background or who you are before, your social status. And then he went on to talk about, you know, the ear, the different parts. And, you know, in a way, we can summarize it in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. Basically, Paul is saying that everybody needs everybody. And to me, I think the most... The verse that hits me, or rather speaks to me the most, is in verse 24, the second half. But God has put the body together. It is God who put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. One part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. It's God who put the body together. So what can we take from this passage? No, every member is a vital part of the body. And there are no spectators in the kingdom. Every one of us, you know, put our hands to the plow. So church is not built on the gifts of a few people, but on the sacrifices of many. So what I learned in PJEFC, you know, what do I learn, what do I pick up in 2025? And to me, the first thought that came to mind was this: the mission remains. The mission of this church remains, you know. And I was preparing this, and remember our 50th anniversary book, Our Story, His Glory, right? So we continue to write the story of PJEFC for God's glory. As the year passes by, 1 year come, 1 year goes, we continue to write this story. And it's not a story by one person, by the pastor, by the chairman, or by the elders, or by any of the particular leaders. It is a collective story. It is a story we all write together. So one particular example comes into mind. You know, in 2025, one of the big projects that we have been talking about was Reimagine PJEFC, right? It's nice, we call it Reimagining PJEFC. You cannot imagine the burden I have, okay, thinking about it throughout the year. Back in February 2024, nearly 2 years ago, okay, Deacon Kemming brought the idea of reimagining PJEFC to the board. You know, I look back at the slides that he presented. Wow, so many things. It looks so interesting. But at the time, I was just one of the elders, lah. You know, I wasn't the chairman. So I just listened and said, yeah, okay, all good idea. You know, it was Elder Chimen's problem. Alexa's issue. So I said, okay, let's go. Well, of course, things changed. Now, throughout 2024 to 2025, we had multiple engagements with different groups within PJFC. And I think this is the way we do things. This is the way the church does things, right? We look at it as an entire body. God put this body together, you know? Nobody is left behind. We work with one another, right? So we have all this engagement with different groups. And it is through this collective wisdom of the church we refine the scope. So what was started off back in February 2024 and today, there are a lot of similarities, but there were also major changes, right? And how we envision this, how we proceed with it, and how much we require. Now, this process requires patience. It requires love. It also requires humility, especially from the leadership, right? And, you know, we have got so many inputs from everybody. We've got so many suggestions, you know. I would say that all the suggestions are good suggestions. It's just that some of the suggestions are somewhat incomplete because they're all premised upon a certain context. And if you see a certain context, then that suggestion is good. But if you look at it from a different context, a different suggestion comes. But it's also good, right? So, it's a lot of work. There's a lot of things to process, right? And there are so many opinions as well. But I'm always reminded, and I think as leadership, we are always reminded that because God has put the body together so that there should be no division in the body. So, as I inherited this project this year, I must say that, you know, there are many quiet moments. I wonder if this is too big a project to take on, right? And I say this, and after a lot of reflection, I suppose I say this because I was also really busy at work, you know? And I thought that, oh, this is really a lot of work, you know? I don't think I'm cut out from this. I'm not retired like Chia, you know? She has got all the time and energy to do this. I'm younger, but I don't think I have that much energy left to do this, right? So a lot of things comes into my mind in handling this. But throughout this season, I also learned a few things. The first is this. Transitions reawaken our calling. Oops. I'll come back to that. Transitions reawaken our calling. Now, certainly my calling was reawakened. I recalled Moses' words to Joshua. It is the Lord who goes before you. It's not you who goes before. It is the Lord who goes before you. The process to trust in God, even when things are not looking good, you know, like Daniel's three friends, right? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, you know, who were thrown into that blazing furnace. Even when things are not looking good. But if the Lord is for you, who can be against you? Taking the first step to trust in God. Exercise our faith in God. Now, that is a crucial part in our journey. I think each of us, our journey with the Lord, as the Lord leads us, I think we must exercise that. We must exercise the faith. We must make the call to trust in God. That if God has put us in a particular position or situation to carry certain things out, we must trust in God. That because our God is living, He's real. And we call ourselves a follower of Christ, then let us be obedient, you know, to carry this thing out. That's the first thing I realized. You know, when transition happens, God also reignites our calling. And when that happens, then we begin to see how God is moving, And I get to know new members of this body, of this church, who participated in this reimagining project. You know, especially this the group in the reimagining subcommittee. I see their dedication. I see their hard work. You know, particularly Bernie comes to mind. You know, we invited him to our board retreat, but he has a clashing work event on the same weekend. He came the night at the first night, must have been like 10:30 at night, just to drive all the way to Bangi just to fellowship with us. And then he went home. And then he came again the next morning to present this project on reimagining. And then he went back to work. You know, such dedication. So God, in his wisdom, has also led Bernie, you know, to do what he's been tasked to do. And to me, I thank God because God has called the right people at the right time to carry out certain work. So it is a confirmation that God is doing something marvelous here. And we see God's power happening right before our eyes. And there's just one example, right? So I also witnessed many members becoming active participants. So many of you came and gave me words of encouragement. So thank you very much. And not only that, I think many of you also rise up and give money to this project. So you put money where your mouth is, lah. You know, you say that you support, but you also really give to this project. And on that note, I must say thank you everybody who has contributed and pledged so that we could hit our 2 million target to get this project going. Now, as of 26 December 2025, we have pledges of 2.15 million to date. At the moment, we have collected only slightly more than half, lah. So I think it would be good if for those the rest of you who have pledged, please pay out, yeah. Maybe your bonus has not arrived, but just remember, lah. Okay. So, the third thing that I learned, I think God has entrusted all of us to continue the mission and build this church. And what was it? Today is Sunday, right? So on Christmas Eve, that was the 24th of December, we received a letter from our fire department approving our architectural plans for Block B, right? So in a way, the first of hurdles has been removed. And of course, there are many more hurdles that we have to go through, right? So let's be prayerful and prayerfully submit this project to the Lord. So next will be our MBPJ submission for renovation. Well, it has been submitted. So we are expecting the results, or rather their approval to come sometime just before Chinese New Year, right? And then we target to start renovation of this place in maybe March or April after Easter, I think, right? Hopefully get everything sorted out by August or September. Now, please pray that we will be able to celebrate our 60 years of God's faithfulness and leadership of PJEFC in this reimagined space on the 24th of October next year. So, church, next year we are 60 years old, okay? So, we are going to have a celebration. It will be in October. So, let's pray that this whole space will be renewed. And will be upgraded as well. Of course, we are not closing the pledging. If anybody wants to give, here is the details of the bank account. Maybe some of you also forgot where to give to. So I'll just leave it here for a short while so that you could see. But if you feel that you want to continue to pledge, it's also okay in case, you know, you have got a second round of bonus coming in April because our renovation is in March, April, so that is also a good time. So what does all this has meant to us? What does it mean to be entrusted together? God has called each and every one of us to be His ambassador, His priest, in this place and time. You know, whatever your life circumstances may be, right? Know that you have been entrusted with a very important mission by God to bear witness of His goodness, His mercy, His love to everyone that you come in contact with. So, the Lord has, in this age of church, has given us a very special helper, right? And next year, or next week, we are starting the new sermon series on the Holy Spirit. And we will delve into it a lot more. So, as I come for conclusion, may I just invite the worship team to lead us in a closing song. No, the future of the church does not rest on the shoulders of one leader, but on the faithfulness of God and the obedience of His people. So all of us are called to be faithful to God and be obedient. And I think to do that, we must take that bold step of faith to trust in God. We must do that. For He is the one who never failed us. Trusting in God. That's the first step that we all must do. Now, as we sing the closing song, let us be reminded that our God is indeed trustworthy. So be strong and courageous, for God did not leave us alone. Instead, He has given us a helper, the Holy Spirit. And I'd like to wish all of us here a wonderful 2026, and may it be a great year to personally experience the one who calls, equips, sustains, and brings every good work of yours to completion.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.